Good morning, everybody. Welcome back, Todd.
Thank you, Tom.
How was your time with the Utes in Georgia?
There is nothing more fulfilling than watching young people encounter Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing in the world that is more fulfilling than that. Like, it's absolutely astounding. That's why people are involved in youth ministry, because they get to be a part of that. And you know you're having eternal ramifications. And I mentioned on Monday, the young church is beautiful, and we should have great hope in the church, because they absolutely love Christ and they love his church. It's beautiful.
Yeah, we're getting ready to go to Steubenville, Atlanta, and I completely understand what you're saying. And I would say to people, at Holy Spirit Parish, every first Wednesday of the month when we have a youth group meeting, we always have adoration. Always have adoration. And people are always surprised that the young people show up at night. You know, now I will say that, you know, in the past, it was not uncommon where you might have 70 kids show up for a youth group meeting going back 10 years ago. And then adoration night, you know, it might go down to 15 or 20. And that does happen. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But over the last 4 or 5 years, one of the things I've noticed is while we may, post COVID, we may be at 40 or 50 kids on a Wednesday night, we're averaging 35 to 40 kids coming for adoration. Mm-hmm. Give you an example. Beginning of June, we put together, give something for the kids to do. And, you know, we feed them dinner and give them something to eat. And we'll do a little time of fellowship, but we're going to do adoration. And we're going to just go in there like we normally do. And we had 20 kids show up during summer break. Mm-hmm. And the adults that are there will often say to myself or my colleagues or Father Francis, how seeing those kids at adoration was actually a boon to their faith.
Amen.
They see that, and they said exactly what you said, Todd. They realize that there's something beautiful going on. God is working in all people, including our young. Mm-hmm. And it really is a beautiful thing to see. You know, we're going to go this weekend, and we're going to be with 5,000 of our closest teenage friends, and there's going to be a lot of excitement. But let me tell you something, adoration, you will not hear a pin drop for 3 hours. I mean, it is so quiet and so reverent, you actually hear the air conditioner units running. Mm-hmm. There's 5,000 kids in the Gas South Arena.
Mm. Wow. Well, you have a great trip. I'm sure it's going to be just as edifying to you as an adult as it is to those kids.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So you pointed out a piece where they interviewed Bishop Robert Barron about something that's, resurging. All bad ideas never get buried. Communism. And, this has been really kind of in the news a lot, especially with the election of the mayor of New York, who basically draws from that kind of ideology. But it's also button heads with the reality of it doesn't work. I mean, if you see the news stories, too, they're told to put their air conditioners at 78. There's been blackouts from the heat up there. And I'm always amazed that every generation thinks we're just going to do communism better because it wasn't done properly last time. It's the same evil idea. And it starts with removing religion from the population because you can't have those pesky Christians, especially around.
Right. And Bishop Barron in this article, he has done subsequent videos on this topic where he's gotten deeper, but it's a Fox News op-ed that he was invited to write. And he talks about, in light of back at the end of June in primary elections, three congressional primary elections, and not including state elections, but three congressional elections, three candidates ran explicitly as socialists. And that's basically just communism by another name. The totalizing socialistic system, right? That America should be a socialist country. One in Colorado, two in New York. So these three congressional candidates, all endorsed by Mondani, who is, again, unapologetically socialistic. Gave a talk in light of July 4th the other day, in which many people rightly took him to task, including Bishop Barron, as an example of the socialist communist language. But in this article, Bishop Barron lays out two fundamental points as to why communism is so dangerous and so toxic. The first is it sees religion as the ultimate critique, right? So religion is the thing that's getting in the way of what we want to do, right? And so he mentions Marx calling religion the opiate of the masses. And Barron talks about what, you know, it's the opiate of the masses because we live in this world and all these problems. And so religion is the drug that, quote unquote, makes us cope with copium, if you will, right? That you hear people say, the copium to deal with life's problems. Mm-hmm. But then he says the other point is totalitarianism. Communism is a totalizing system. It recognizes that it has to have everything. It has to control everything. Culture, entertainment, arts, you name it. The communist mind is totalizing. It is a worldview that encompasses everything. Therefore, you can't have God because God is a competitor. God is a competitor in the communist system. And so for Marx, everything has to be redefined around the system, which means including that the children that you have as parents, they don't belong to you. Mm-hmm. They belong to the state. Mm-hmm. And Ellen, let me tell you, this is why we have to take it seriously. We cannot dismiss it. And the reason why we can't dismiss it, and we can't bring up, oh, it doesn't work, and I'll tell you why. Because the people that are living today don't know that. They haven't been taught that. They haven't been they've been told the opposite. They've been told the opposite. God rest his soul. And I still remember this because I was in the early 20s. After the Berlin Wall fell, and if people did listen to Rush Limbaugh back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, some of them may remember him saying this. I'll never forget it. Do not think that communism has died. Communism has not died because it's over in Eastern Europe. Do not think it has died. It is alive and well in the American university system. He said that. He said that 35 years ago. Now, he didn't say that because he was a prophet. He said it because he knew it. Because I've been following this stuff for 40 years. I'm not making that up. Since you go back, 1984, all this kind of stuff, I've been following this stuff for over 40 years of my life. Okay? The reality of the situation is that communism has shifted its emphasis. It's a lot smarter today. Marxist communism is stupid. But that's not what we're facing. And this is what I'd love to have a conversation with Bishop Barron about. We're not facing that communism. We're facing the communism of the early 20th century of a man by the name of Antonio Gramsci. And if you want to freak out and you want to get scared, you read Gramsci. Because Gramsci was infinitely smarter than Karl Marx, and he was infinitely smarter than Lenin and Stalin. Stalin at first liked him and then distrusted him because Gramsci realized the economic aspect, the specific attack of economics, would not work with Western Europe. You had to seduce people in through identity politics. I'm not kidding. He's writing this in 1919. What are we facing? And this is why it's a crisis in our schools, that our schools don't teach this. If anything, they teach the opposite. In the public school system and typical private schools, this is why Catholic schools are so important, because we can stand in the gap. But, you know, there's a small number of us. You know, most are educated in this nonsense.
Yeah, and they seem to have not questions. It seems, Tom, they haven't questioned why it failed or what were the roots of its lack of success. Or even the fruits of it, the misery for decades, particularly in Russia and Eastern Europe. I mean, I don't know how to have a proper look and say, okay, I'm all in on socialism in the 2020s. You need to go back and look and see what happened in the 1920s and how it progressed and what happened to it. Why did it fail? And, you know, their favorite line is, well, it just wasn't executed in the proper way, or whatever nonsense I think they come up with. But the reality is they are not proper students of history, because most everyone would take a look at where communism and socialism was practiced and just the misery and death and destruction that came from it. Yep, we're going down that road again.
Right. Well, because everything has got to be redefined. Mm-hmm. And so all arrangements, all societal arrangements, including the family, is redefined and changed. And so Marx actually says, one of the things he says is that all that's come before, we do away with, and I usher in a new morality. That's why in Mao, during the revolution, you have the resetting of the clock, right? The resetting, it's going to be the dawn of a new age, right? That, so everything now is, it really is a pseudo Christian system. It's one of those things, and that's always I tell my students this. I said, because when I start my ethics class, I typically start with Marx. I start with Nietzsche, and looking at things that they say from their own mouths to demonstrate the emptiness of their thinking, and then I bring in John Paul II as the counter. Right, John Paul is the countermeasure to this, to set the stage for the discussion of the moral life and what ethics look like, because it is important for them to be aware. We have to be aware of what we're up against, so that when, because I once had a colleague years ago, I was in a chapel and somehow she came into the back of the chapel and we were talking. You know, she was asking questions about Catholicism, and then one thing led to another, and real nice young lady named Stephanie. And she brought up to me, she said, you know, Tom, she said the same thing. She said, you know, communism in many ways, the principles of communism, they really are very Christian. And I looked at her and I said, Stephanie, may I ask you that question? Have you ever read Marx? And she said, no. I said, okay, where did you get that from? She goes, oh, my professor. I said, yeah, why don't you read Marx? Okay. Yeah. That's the problem. People are getting their Marx diluted with the, you know, and say, drink straight scotch. Don't drink scotch and water. Okay. All right. Drink the straight scotch. And that's the thing I love about, that's what I love about Nietzsche is that, I mean, he's raw. I mean, he is raw, and he will tell you where the bodies are buried. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. We need, this is why we need a robust Catholicism. And that's why I'm so grateful to Bishop Barron. He's out there speaking about this, because if here's one of the problems that I see in the church sometimes, and I mean this, and there's a couple of priest friends of mine, and we just recently had dinner together, and I don't mean this in a negative way. It's going to come out negative, and I don't mean it, but one of the problems in the church sometimes is we think that if we don't respond to something, if kind of just ignore it, it goes away. No, it doesn't. It doesn't go away. It just becomes a harder problem to fix. And so Barron going out there and speaking about this, it's going to matter, because he's a bishop. He's got intellectual chops about him, and he is a capable speaker on these matters. Mm-hmm. And he has an audience. And I just think we have to be more honest about the fact of we are facing this issue. And, you know, Ellen, I know you're familiar with this line, but people have said it, you know, with the horrible situation that happened with that man who assassinated the insurance executive.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The saying is you either get a reevaluated approach to the economy that goes from corporatism back to real capitalism, or you get Luigi.
Yeah.
And if we're not paying attention, and if, you know, we're going to be like Ted Cruz, still living as if we're in 1982, they're not paying attention. Bishop Barron is paying attention to what time it is. This is a real enemy. This is, you know, this isn't, I was reading an article counter to Barron where the author was saying how proud he was. It used to be a death knell in American politics that if you said, hey, you're a socialist, okay, you're a socialist, you were done. You weren't, you know, it happened in Florida, Connie Mack in 1988, U.S. Senate, a race against Buddy McKay. I'll never forget that. Mm-hmm. All Connie Mack had to run was, hey, Buddy, you're a socialist. And he won in a landslide. Mm-hmm. Okay? Those days are gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're gone. Yeah. You just can't throw out, oh, you're a socialist, and you win. You're going to have to give good arguments, and Bishop Barron is giving really good arguments. We need to pay attention to him.
Amen.
Yeah, we do. I'm sure this will still be a conversation as we progress.
Oh, I'm fired up. You know, these topics fired me. That's why I had to talk about Sola Scriptura last week, because I can't do this every week. My blood pressure.
Oh, Tom, go have a cannoli.
I feel like I'm back
coffee.
In the classroom. All right, bye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a great day.